Daniel got postponed, and we're going to pick that up in January 8th, Daniel, and it seems fitting. You know, it's like I keep wanting to get into Daniel, and things keep happening and outside of our control, and it's like, but we're going to persevere, and ironically, that's what Daniel's about. It's about being faithful, persevering. So it only seems fitting, right? Anyway, so good morning. And it's great having you here at New Crossing. I'm Craig, one of the pastors here, and it's just good here to be with you. And so this morning we like to do the Sunday before Christmas, a special Christmas message. And it only seemed also fitting since we're in Daniel, which is this prophetic book in the Old Testament, this prophet, to take kind of a prophetic view of the Christmas story instead of kind of the traditional one out of the New Testament Gospels. And so we're going to kind of take a different view of that. And then next Sunday is Christmas, and we wrestled with that, and the staff decided to the Christmas stories of Jesus coming. But this is a time for you to be with family this Sunday. And so we'll see you again January 1st. And announcements. So having Ryan Wieland, Trinity grad, he just graduated, has become a friend of the church, and he's going to come and speak with us. And but I said, he said he's fine with that, and he's coming anyway. So just kidding, calm down. And so anyway, let's pray as we get in. We just love you so much, and we're really kind of focusing in, God, on our sovereign, meaning in all your power and all your wisdom, you have a plan, and it won't be thwarted through your Son with flesh and blood to participate with us. So see it through the eyes of heaven this morning, because we need. If you're visiting, know that there's always outlines of the sermon and back if you want to grab one of those. You can be students. So this is the Bible, because it's God speaking to us. It gets real when it's Bibles and your phone apps. That's what we do here at New Crossing. And got a little bit of cold here, so I may have to pause once in a while, but we're trusting God for that too. It's cards we receive. There's always things about, actually they're up here this morning, you know, hope and peace and joy. And in New Crossing, we have this vision of peace and joy for Christmas, and then go bless others. And so, and we want that. I mean, everybody that wants at least one of those three, hope, joy, or peace, raise your hand. Right, all the hands go up. Of course, you know, I want all three. But it is, unless it's just well-wishing that we'll have this year. And I don't know if you ever pop my joy and peace. And hope is really a core of joy. It's almost like that's the fruit of it. And one of the verses I've asked us as a church to memorize this year is Romans 15:13. And it's a prayer. It's exactly to do with what we're looking at. So in Paul's words, Lord, may the God in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen. Ah, now let's get into this. So, how do you see Christmas, right? And I think it's kind of neat to begin with a Christmas story. And it's one of my favorite Christmas poems. It's called Sharon's Christmas. It's by John Shea. And it's kind of through her eyes. She was five, sure of divinity, convinced every word was revelation. She said, they were so poor, they only had peanut butter. And from home, without getting lost, the lady rode a donkey. They had to stay in a stable with an ox and an ass. Hee hee. Shepherds came, and you could pet the sheep, but not feed them. Then the baby was born, and do you know who he was? Pause there a moment. That really is the question, isn't it? He was born, whose name was Jesus. The incredible immensity, or something pain, that Jesus, the one that was before of the universe. And you could take this creation, and we can't even bend our mind around that. I mean, it was, you know, within the last, you know, few years, we thought there was an end to this universe, we even with our sense, and just to discover that that space was as the galaxy, new technology using different spectrums of energy we can measure, even begin to imagine that, let alone things on this earth we're still trying to figure out. And the Father in heaven, the one in Colossians says, who sustains it, heart and no limitations in power and his holiness and his goodness, the one who will judge all things someday, the one who loves you and me, became with us to show us God's something to ponder and think about. As adults, you know, we hear this gets commercialized. We just kind of become desensitized. And sometimes we have to take a fresh look. We need to be able to see through the child's eyes. And so she ended her song, her poem with, and do you know, and it goes on, her quarter eyes inflated was God. And she jumped in the air, whirled around, dove into the sofa, and buried her head under the cushion, which is the only proper through a child's eyes. We should wonder and be amazed that the one that loved us so much would put a face to that love, right? Amen. Christmas story. And maybe another poem as well to be found by the characters in your manger scene. Who are the characters in your manger scene? And let's see if this works. There. And I actually have for us two of the figures from our manger scene. There's more. And if you came to our house, and what else is in your manger scene? Maybe there's shepherds like in this picture and sheep. And told the shepherds exactly where to find this king. And maybe you have, in addition to that, off to the side, like on our mantle, off to the and they came somewhere between 6 months to 2 years later. But they, well, this morning, and we can get the lights on, and we can. And seeing Christmas, I want us to be able to see Christmas through the eyes of heaven and hear its song in a way that will, don't we need that? We need hope, and we need something that will not just fuel it, but make us strong. As much as we try and make this Christmas time, this Christmas season perfect, it may be for a moment, but we realize we live in an imperfect world. And I really feel like sometimes we need a picture of, we need to come to reality with what heaven sees when it begin there. Matthew 1 verses 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which, and you shall call his name Jesus. Wouldn't you love an angel to show up and tell you what, because you're going through all those name books, right? For he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill, shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And he participated with us. But there's more in that story than the eye can see. Prophecy in the very first story, and just as way of, do you know the scene in the first few chapters of Genesis? And so here in Genesis 3, you know, and you know the story, Adam and Eve, right? God made a beautiful, perfect place for them. And he put them in the garden to tend and take care of it and rule over the animals and the fish and things. Not eat of, and it's known as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They already had all the good. He puts questions and doubts into, you know, who God is and his care. And he just wants to hold you back from freedom. And she buys into the forbidden fruit. And she comes to know the things that God was trying to protect them from. And so this was the beginning to live that out. Any moment in which we cease to trust God. 13, then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And God said in verse 4, her offspring, and then pay attention. "He shall bruise your," and he says to the serpent, "Her offspring shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." We have the beginnings of conflict. We'll try and destroy this child that he was told would come and crush his head. In human form in the Old Testament, some of these rulers, I mean Pharaoh, and he is called in the translations dragon or monster. And then we see God use Moses to help set them free for the purpose of being able to worship him. But in Daniel, because he is the one that took Daniel and his friends in because it's fun. I want you to understand that in Daniel, a lot of the imagery God, signs and pictures God gave Daniel, he gave again to John. Sees in his vision, "I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful, broken to pieces, and stamped with what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns." Of the Christmas story. Ready? Turn to Revelation. He's right now at the end of his life on an island called Patmos, and God gives him this. And it's a vision God is showing him of how this will end when Jesus returns, who has been resurrected from the dead, and that Jesus will come and make a new earth. And the story in Revelation 12 is the Christmas story, at least part of it. So let me ask again. Who are the characters in your manger? I mean, the manger scene with, you know, through the eyes of a child and the reading of Matthew. But if you come to Ashley, I asked Ashley if she could put this together for us, and we wanted, at the end, we decided we really wanted a flying red dragon to come in. And so she went to a computer expert, Nicole, her 11-year-old child. When, by a word to the wise, you need computer help, find an 11-year-old. Right? And actually, the first time, and so there is in our manger scene, so this is from our, you know, we got Mary and Joseph, and sure enough, we got a manger scene on the mantle. And just funny story is, when I first put that up there, my wife, Jill, again, picked it up and threw it quite violently to the ground. Prophetic she was being. Let's read Revelation 12, verses. "And a great sign appeared in heaven." By the way, when it says a great sign, in other words, they're hard to put human words to, and they have a spiritual reality. And so it's the telling of real things, in this case, a woman and a dragon, are symbolic of other things too. So Revelation gets very much into signs and wonders, and it's hard to interpret, but we're not going to get into it. And it goes on to say in this a great sign in heaven, "A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her crown of 12 stars." And so just to tell you in that sense, this woman clothed with God's blessing, God's covering, his protection, she is hers, could be representative of either Israel being this woman in the 12 tribes, and or it is actually of Mary herself, and from her the apostles and the beginnings of the church. And I think the next verses help us understand. "Crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in 7 heads and 10 horns." There's this monster again. "And on his head 7 limbs. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast so that when she bore a child, he might devour." Talks about in this figurative language of this dragon who brought with it. It says a third of this morning. In the Old Testament words and later, Satan, and that's who we'll learn this is literally, this the angels who followed him as he was. This woman is radiant, clothed with the sun, because she literally gives birth to Jesus. And And this dragon is poised and wise. And that's why he was cast out of heaven. And he is powerful with great authority. That's what the horns. And we are told in verse 9 that this dragon is no other than the devil, attempting from the Genesis to stop the in the Old Testament. Over and over, we see kingdoms and kings try to annihilate it. The coming of this offspring from Eve. He built to keep his, and so he attempts to devour the son. And we read in verse 5 and 6, she gave birth to one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, which is symbolic. Her child was caught up to God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness 1,260 days. And so did this happen? Find their literal reality in the Christmas. Look at Matthew 2, verses. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, so he was born of Judah, in Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, and it rose, and have come to worship him. I just want to pause. Just a really Persia, Babylon. Daniel took place where? In Babylon. Anything in their studies about and that young man that was taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar as he wrote some of these prophetic, get it more later. And where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Bethlehem of Judah, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among shepherd my people Israel. How do you think Herod felt about that? He was the current ruler. Kind of like Satan was feeling threatened by the coming of this king. Obviously, this is not very so far. But here's where it takes a turn. Just looking now at God, and then the star continues, and it lits upon the roof, as the five-year-old said, and they find Jesus there, and they're warned in a dream that Herod is not so sincere in wanting them to find the child so that he too can worship their own way. And we read in verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Egypt and remained there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. We have the rise of the dragon leads another to try and destroy this child. True. And what happens? And what's neat about it is the woman was led into the wilderness, and Joseph, God led them to Egypt. They had to go through the wilderness, the desert, to find their way to Egypt for refuge until they could return for a certain amount of time. And then in verse 16 of Matthew, I'm new to this clicker. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And Bethlehem and all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to that time he had asserted. But in this reading, so he tries to destroy this child. Is it going to be a ruler with what kind of heart did we read in Matthew? A heart. He's not going to be like Herod or Nebuchadnezzar or Pharaoh. He's going to be a different. He is a shepherd that would defend his to us. Good story. This son would also rule with great strength and authority, and he will be victorious in this story. We'll come after him. If he can't get him as a child, Satan will come after him in the wilderness. But in our story, back to Revelation, in our story, in the manger scene, we need to understand flesh and becoming a child, which is beautiful, which is awesome. But it is a battle going on. And this matters to you and I. We need to care about this. We need to understand this, that there is an with God's people. And let's read Revelation 7 through 9. Now we move into the unseen part. The angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was the dragon was thrown down. And my wife was right when she threw the dragon to the ground and then kicked it. That ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth in his angels' mid-Christmas story. And what do we do with this? Why does this matter to us? Because as much as Jesus has come for you to save you, shepherd your life because he loves you that much, there is a dragon still present, and he may be broken. That literally, he is the devil and he is Satan. And you need to understand. And so he'll come into your life. He'll come just like he did with Eve and so many since her in the lives of men and women. And he comes and he deceives you. He puts a, usually through questions, can you really trust you happy? And he leads you into these deceptions, these things where you, that God loves you enough to send his own son. And maybe dismantle your identity. You were made in the image of the Creator, meant to be a son and daughter if they would just believe and trust. The deceiver, Satan, is also, and it's not too often we see both names applied. He is Satan and he is the devil. And the devil means accuser, a slanderer. So he plays both sides of the game. First, he gets you due to the seeking your and me too, my own pleasures. And so we buy into the deception that will make us happy. And then he even sends other servants of his that put in our hearts that we are unworthy. And then he says, oh. So he's the one that caused us to turn and we're not worthy of being loved. Why would God love a sinner like you? You're messed up. How can you think that you could even pray, you're more like me than him? Right? The accusations of the dragon. Ask yourself now, what is the accusation? But there's something in you that says it doesn't really line up. I'm supposed to be holy and righteous like my God in heaven. I'm told my Father in heaven loves me. But there's these accusations that keep you from believing it and trusting it, right? Create this little perfect moment, don't we? Gets burnt. Somebody forgets the important ingredients. Maybe a family member's not coming because there's a fight with broken resolutions. I'm not trying to paint a dark picture. I'm just speaking, period. But this is what makes this story so powerful, is it helped hope. But do you know, in this is also, like the little girl's Christmas song, a Christmas poem. And in these, in the verses 10 through 12, maybe yours has quote marks around it. Or maybe it breaks it out into more of a poetic form. But there is something poetic, a loud voice in heaven saying, and I really believe, like the little girls, why does God use poetry? When it happens, it's saying, when you put it to the song, it's meant to touch the heart and the mind. It's meant to say, this is in. So let's just begin with verse 10, because within this, a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. So Jesus' birth comes, offer of salvation to it is the blood of the Lamb. It is his executed and on the cross, and through his blood we have salvation. But we read also in this poetic poems within himself all the power of God accessible to God is all that is good. It's healing, it's beauty, it's love, it's authority. And a matter of fact, this verse tells us that Jesus' birth literally comes with the authority of God. And so, blood of Jesus Christ in his coming. But with Jesus' death, he has won against the dragon. He has. Jesus, dragon, a lamb, ironically, defeats Satan. Verse 33, we read this. Jesus says to his disciples. Now, this is his last night before the cross, when he is going to be grounding statement after he told the disciples what's going to happen to him. And he says, because you believe in me. And Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. After their hearts have become troubled, you know, hope, peace, joy. How's he going to do that? But take heart. I have overcome the world. You overcame the world? How's that looking? I overcame it already? How did Jesus overcome the world? In a really messed up world and time, comes what? He shows up riding a donkey as as the king, and receives that title. How's he conquering the world? He eats with the worst of society, the sinners. No king would dine at their table with. He would set them free. This is Jesus conquering the world. He's doing the old leaders do to conquer the world. He doesn't murder. He allows himself to go to the cross, mocked and beaten. When he's in the garden and the Roman soldiers show up, that's so comical. You know, I mean, yeah, I feel bad for the servant. I mean, but he did get his ear back. Overcome. It's the same word. And it's Jesus being beaten and slapped and bound and put on a cross. That's conquering the world. We need to understand. We can read this, 35. Now, these are classic words you've heard over and over, but you need to hear them with fresh ears in context of the Christmas story. What then shall we say to these things? This is what against us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him graciously give us all things. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, he is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding to accuse you now for the things you just did in the last week or two. He's trying to tell God how unworthy you are of his love, or certainly salvation. But Jesus is from the love of Christ. And the answer is, no one needs the salvation. Why do we need the salvation? When the dragon was cast down from heaven, and we read in this passage, we've already heard in the passage, and it is said again in verse 17, the dragon, do you know what he did? It says, if he couldn't kill the son of that mother, he comes after God's believers, because he is furious at what happened. So he's going to cause as much hurt in our lives as possible. Not only, this is so cool. I love when I saw this with fresh eyes. Not only this, in Revelation 12, as the continues, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe, because he knows that his time is short. So while Satan is trying sins so we don't repent, God has forgiven you. And again, to be with the Father until he returns. All we read about, all that power of God, the kingdom of God and all its glory, and he pours into his believers. He has poured all that power into us. And so our hope is anchored his return. And as we look forward to his return, we can that we don't love ourselves as much his authority, go bless others. Bring the lamb into the lives of others. Because we know that hope then comes the fruit of peace and joy. John is writing this when some of his closest friends have all has been already crucified in Rome. And according to tradition, history, Peter himself has been crucified upside down. So there are many that he knows have given their lives even unto death because they have a different of what's happening now. With the words that Paul says in Romans 8, thinks we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's not just that, but if we believe, we too have the ability, the things he is doing in the lives of others, but also ourselves have, then know that you are loved by God. And what was that accusation? You had to conquer through the power of the blood of him. And you hear things, you hear thoughts, or maybe actual words of things that want to rip you in the past. And Satan still has a voice in that place where he still accuses you. Where do you feel? Believe their truth. You begin to believe they're true about you, that who would want a future in this world? Close your eyes. And Paul said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. What kind of believing have you been going after to get that hope? And if it hasn't brought you that hope and that joy and that peace that you feel is still lacking in the wrong direction, our believing is in Jesus Christ and what he has already accomplished and the salvation that we have because of him. Our believing is not in this life getting better, though it might not. Our believing is in his return, when he will make everything perfect and good. Our believing goes beyond that into that he is with you. He has never abandoned you or left you. He loves you. He is with you. His presence dwells in you if you invite him. So let's do that. Our Father in heaven, just in your heart, pray along with me. We ask Jesus a fresh view of you and your incarnation, your crucifixion and resurrection. We want you to live with all the goodness of the kingdom, and we want your healing. Speak truth to our hearts where the accuser and deceiver has led us into false things that defeat us inside, that wound our soul and hurt our heart. And Father, at this Christmas time, we want to be those who conquer Satan and the devil, not just for ourselves, but also for others. We pray, Lord, let us be those that conquer the enemy in the lives of others, Lord. Let us have your truth and set others free, a friend, a family member, co-worker who is totally in the prison of the enemy. And let us, in the power of Jesus, set them free with his truth. Lord, let us conquer this world like you did, with kindness and gentleness, not just Christmas time, but in this coming year, Lord. We want to love those who hurt, to pray and bless them. Jesus, we want to even forgive those who have hurt us. Help us be able to take that hurt and find your healing, and then pray that they too will be healed by the power of heaven, that they will be free from our judgment and vindication. We pray, Lord, for even our enemies, that you will bless them and lead them to you. Lord, let Christmas live in our hearts in a powerful new way, because we see it through your eyes this day. Amen. Let's rise as we sing.